last time on Dock of Shame.
I haven't been able to keep a composure because you said hand for a hook.
And then there's an ice cream truck noise, and Jeff just runs away to get the ice cream truck.
How is Jeff not eliminated by now?
And also with the brownies.
Did he bake the brownies? Because even Chris was surprised. He was like, ooh, nice.
Welcome, campers, to the Dock of Shame podcast. My name is Matt, and joined with me are...
My name is Chris, and I've had severe arm pain today.
My name is Matt, and I hurt Chris's arm. Oh, shit, my name is Walsh, and I... And, yep, same, yep.
Yeah, it's all right, it's okay.
My name is Gabe, and I'm using a new microphone.
Ooh, fancy.
Ooh, zesty.
All right.
Delicious. Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. God, it is weird to be in like the end game of Total Drama. This is about like where I made it to in my game when I played.
I was just about to say it has been for us, we've been on the edge of our seats. How did the game go?
Was it really that long ago?
It's been 2 months.
Oh, Jesus.
Since we recorded.
Wow.
Yeah. So I ended up getting fifth place at the state of the game that I was at and the way that I was playing. I was not going to win. But still making it to fifth place. Pretty cool. For my first ever one of these.
That is very
cool. Now I just gotta get on the real show.
The real Total Troy Drama.
Troy gave you a mission, and it's been quite a few months since we had Troy Zen on, and you still are not on Survivor. I mean,
to be fair,
you've really let him down. I think.
To be fair, Survivor had not been filming for a while at all last year.
Yeah, it's
no excuses.
They're filming right now. Filming right now, but
no excuses. There are survivors out there. You need to just search for them.
Okay. Why aren't you just in the woods right now surviving?
Yeah, exactly. You can just pitch a tent, right? Go to the local highway where all the trees are. Just pitch a tent.
Okay. You know what? You are surviving now, so.
Yeah. We're all trying to survive.
Everyone is. It's so long, in fact, that a whole other season, since last time we spoke, a whole other season has happened with that same group.
Wow. Like, completed?
Yeah, like they're at final tribal council right now.
Ah,
It was a smaller cast, but still.
Yeah, no, it's still. They've certainly got their fill of content, content creation.
Hell yeah! Shoutouts to the Smorgon community. You guys are cool. But yeah, this is Total Drama. And what an episode!
Drama.
And what.
Total.
What an episode this was.
Island!
Holy shit. What the fuck?
I was actually thinking about holding that a lot longer, like probably like halfway through the episode, but might as well drop the bit now.
There you go.
I see.
So in the last time on, we talk about how the there was a chainsaw killer. Escaped psycho killer with a chainsaw and a hook, his meat mangling hook. And it turned out to just be an elaborate punk. And as Chris is explaining, he's petting a beaver, which is the most Canadian thing that he's ever done. But the beaver bites him, and Chris mentions needing a rabies shot. Now, quick question. Are beavers known for rabies? Or is it just a general wild animal thing?
I feel like you're asking the wrong people.
I mean, it is just like a big... I mean, is it in like... I don't know if it's in the rodent family. I would say
probably
so.
Close to it.
So, according to LiveScience.com, in a June 2011 article, bizarre rabid beaver attacks Philadelphia park patrons is the headline. But okay. It says in the paragraph, quote, beavers have never been known to transmit rabies to anything, including other beavers.
Okay. So how did the beaver get the rabies? Probably bitten by something with rabies. I answered my own question there.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how I'd go about it.
I think beavers having rabies is like the least crazy thing the animals do in this episode.
There's a lot of weird stuff the animals do here. So after the theme song, we open up with a wide shot of the island. Owen and Izzy are walking with the rest of the campers, and Owen is really trying to make it up to her with the fact that he sacrificed her at the end of last episode. And he was like, oh, I got some wild flowers for my wild and crazy gal. Izzy's not having it. And then all of a sudden, Owen is gone.
Goodbye.
And you have it written here, but I think my favorite thing is that Gwen, when everyone turned around to check and see why Owen was disappeared, Gwen asked Izzy, wasn't there just a 300-pound bag of joy talking to you? Which I'm like, that's good. That's a solid line.
I love nice. Bag of joy.
Yeah. Bag of joy.
Yeah.
And then he says, like, I'm only 296 or something like that.
Yes.
And then, so Owen is up in the tree, hanging by his foot, and everyone else is trapped in a cage. Because this is a hint to what our challenge for the day is going to be. Chris takes them to the mess hall. What Gabe?
No, it was me. I said we're hunting.
Oh, Chris. What did you say? Sorry.
No, I just said we're hunting. That's I literally. We're hunting. It was nothing. It would literally could have talked over if you
wanted. All right.
To.
I may cut part of this out. Chris takes them to the mess hall where they are basically eating stuff with consistency of paste to really incentivize them to win the challenge because, as he'll point out later, if you win the challenge, you get a feast of good food.
Yes.
He also mentions, hey, there are only 7 of you left. After this, only 6 will remain. That's how math works, Chris.
Mm.
And throughout this episode, it's interesting. They do a lot more confessionals, I think through this one and the next one, about the contestants' view on the game as a whole and their chances of winning. And just as someone who's just been in the Survivor sphere for so long, it was a really interesting touch to me.
Yeah, it
we
feels
get Duncan
like,
right away.
Yeah. Oh, go I was ahead. Gonna say it feels like they have a lot more like time now to focus on the characters that are left. You know?
Yeah.
I was also gonna say real quick too before they get there. I know I should have cut in earlier, but
that's
there
right.
is another 3D shot.
Oh.
Oh yeah, there is.
Where it pans like point like it changes its angle for like 0.2 seconds and then that's it.
Can I be it's real gone. Honest? It feels like the same 3D shot every fucking time.
Almost, yes. It probably is. I don't like think it just, is, but it feels like it.
It probably is like slightly different, but it feels like the same exact focus, same exact like it's impressive nonetheless, but it's there.
So Duncan gives his confessional. He thinks his chances of winning are great. And also mentions here voting. So all the contestants right now, the contestants and the writers of the show are under the impression that it's going to be a jury vote at the end of the game.
Yeah, so this is what throws me off because when I was watching both this episode and the next episode, there is some strategies and some discussion about the jury vote or how that would appeal to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of blows my mind because I'm just like, did they not have a finale plan? Did they not know what was going to happen at the end? Because I only know of one vote type thing that happens and it does not happen in the finale. So like, I don't, I don't quite grasp what they're trying to aim for there.
Right. Yeah. It's really it's really weird how they how this all works. Because in Survivor, and I've said before, but in Survivor, you get to the end, and everyone who is on the jury now has to vote for who they want to win. So you vote people up, pull out in an attempt to also get them to vote for you at the end. So it's great social politics. That is not this game.
No, this is all challenges till the end, and the only time the social politics comes into play, supposedly, is the tribal councils, but we've seen...
Is the voting,
right, the campfire ceremony, and it's what's weird is that even the last few votes haven't really made a whole lot of sense. So, like, it's even hard to get a read of what the social climate is outside of just seeing the interactions throughout the episode.
Yep. Jeff gets his confessional, too. He says that he's going to go all the way and he's going to win because he got elected student council president twice. Didn't even have to give a speech, which I can totally believe. So the actual challenge for today is they have 8 hours to trap an animal of some kind. Duncan makes a joke. Oh, I got one. And he's got Owen. And Chris explains the very important job that park rangers and game wardens in Canada have to relocate animals. And then we get the probably very very inaccurate scene of helicopters flying bears that are just tied up below them. And then they drop a bear onto a seesaw and catapult the kid away.
Hold on.
I'm so confused with this.
So, I don't know how it is in the censored version, but in the uncensored version, there are two children on that seesaw, and one of the children, because the bear lands on the other side, goes flying up. But the child that was on the side that the bear landed on is just under the bear, and it's just like, can you please
No,
get
they
up?
Say, you hear, ow, get off.
It's I believe that's in both versions.
I'm looking it up now.
Because I was watching on YouTube, and I believe that's the Cartoon Network edit.
Depends on which version you're watching. Both exist on YouTube. If it says uncensored, then it's the Canadian one.
So I think, that was the Canadian one. So then I have a question for the next episode. It's just something that I thought was going to happen and did not, but that's besides the point now. Let's keep going.
All right, that was also in the US version. There was no change there with the bear landing on the kid.
All right,
so that happened. So as I said before, the winner gets to eat all of their favorite foods. And we get another confessional of Owen saying, could you imagine me winning?
Now, was that...
That's what we call foreshadowing.
was that in context of the challenge or to the...
To the entire game.
I thought that was a very interesting placement for them to do that. Can you imagine me winning? Yeah, we could definitely imagine you winning this challenge, Owen.
Right.
For us, considering what's at stake, 100%.
And Owen says here, everyone else deserves it more than I do, except for Heather. I'm not afraid of her, though.
And then he proceeds to cower in fear after she harshly knocks on the door.
Yeah, because Heather just has that aura, the threatening aura. You know, you guys know that Facebook page, Toilets with Threatening Aura? That's Heather.
Except she's just a bitch.
Heather is a toilet with a threatening aura?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Nice. So they all get to choose an animal from a hat. This is reminding me of a previous challenge where they have to choose what their task randomly.
Wasn't that them finding a key?
That was the key challenge, yeah.
That was the key challenge, right. That was like their first, one of their first merch challenges.
It was after the Eva boot.
Right.
Like they merged Eva and Izzy were there, and then Eva got booted.
That was the infamous Trent episode.
Yes.
That was that one. Yes. No wonder the challenge is not as well remembered.
Right. So, Owen has to get a chipmunk. Lashana has to get a frog. Duncan has to get a raccoon. Gwen has to get a duck. Jeff, a beaver. Izzy, a deer. And Heather, a bear.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just a bear compared to all those other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Heather gets bear.
Yeah, that makes sense. That
she deserves it.
Yeah. Wow, she actually got an unlucky draw for once.
Unlike the last time where she got the luckiest draw.
She got literally, like, she won the challenge when she picked that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have 60 seconds to gather equipment from the boathouse, and we reveal the loser punishment, which is not instant elimination. It's the loser has to clean the washrooms. And then Owen apologizes for making the washrooms the way that they are. And then lets out probably his wettest fart yet.
Why do you have to say wet?
Because it was really wet.
It was really wet, to be fair. And also, I do like that we are measuring now, because of how frequently this man flatulates, that we are evaluating...
Flatulates?
We're evaluating each and every single fart in some capacity. It's just like, oh, that's really harsh. That's a harsh one right there. Owen. Oh, that's smooth. That's just smooth like butter, you know? Like that.
Don't say butter.
It's coming out of his butter, you know?
They're in the shed.
And I'm not talking about total
they're
trauma.
In the ged. They're gathering equipment. Duncan is shown going from an oar to a hammer to a chainsaw to get a raccoon. Yep. Gwen and Heather are fighting over a net. Owen finds paper towels to help him out. Jeff just gets a burlap sack.
Wait, I'm so sorry. Can I stop you real quick?
Yes.
The Gwen and Heather fighting over a net reminded me. In the middle of the him giving the challenge, did anyone else notice Lashana and Jeff fighting over the paste?
Yes.
That was...
No, I think they were... I don't think they were fighting over it. I think they were both grabbing each end of it to try to pull it apart from each other so that it could be in a smaller piece for them to eat.
Okay, because I know it was basically right in front, but it was definitely, there was other things happening, overlapping conversations, that it was very subtle in nature.
No, that was good.
It was a very good detail.
That was good.
I wanted to acknowledge.
Izzy gets some crates. Gwen ends up getting a duck bait, giving the net to Heather, and Heather just falls back into a bucket. And then we get Gwen's confessional. I didn't really think I could win, but if I didn't think that now, would I still be here, dealing with all this shit, and also Heather? Which is a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah. Heather mentions that she thinks she's the favorite to win. I'm not sure by what metric, but of course she thinks that she's the favorite.
Yes.
Which honestly, like, in a... Heather in Survivor right now would be in a weird situation because she doesn't have control over everyone and has kind of ostracized herself, so she wouldn't necessarily be in a good place.
Right.
And in fact, she would be the person that you bring to the end.
Right.
In hopes that she pissed off enough of the jury that no one wants to vote for her.
Right. So that's, I think, the mentality of the... Actually, I'll hold off because it's about to happen. But I think that, Heather has really made herself the enemy. I think especially after a few episodes back with was it even the last episode? I forget.
Two episodes was Lindsay.
It was two episodes ago. That was a very climactic scene that really revealed, even though it's been fucking obvious since the beginning, it was the moment that like everyone saw, like, oh, Heather's not a good person. Oh. And so I think that was the moment that I think that like her game in Survivor terms, I think, would be done, with the exception of people bringing her to the end if there was going to be a vote.
Yep. There's going to be a lot of that from me in the end game here about like survivor strategy.
No, I mean, but just because that's what relates to the show.
Very applicable.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. Heather also mentions that Lashana hasn't made any enemies, so she's a bit of a threat as well, which is true. Everyone loves Lashana.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Izzy is throwing stuff out of her crate and finds a tranquilizer gun and points it immediately at Heather. This will be a surprise tool that helps Izzy throughout the episode.
Shadow.
This is a surprise tool we'll use for later.
Chris shouts, "Game on." Heather's not ready. He doesn't care. So everyone just starts running off. And Duncan here. This episode for Duncan is great.
Mm.
He tries immediately to appeal to Heather. He's like, "Hey, you can use this." And Heather's like, "Yeah, good. The bear can use it to skin me alive or with the chainsaw." And he's and tries to even make a final two deal with her, which she of course denies. This is just what we're just talking about. Take the person you can beat to the end.
Right. So this makes sense in Survivor terms. It still does not make sense for what the show does eventually.
Right.
Because I, again, cannot emphasize enough that that's not where the show goes.
They don't have continuity.
Right. Right.
I mean, the nice thing about, like, the continuity that they can get away with is that most of their information comes from Chris, who is, and you can quote me on this, a liar.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
So he could literally say, like, "Hey, in this challenge, you're going to have to deal with this." And then it can be totally different, and he'll be like, "Yep, got him."
Right. Got like him. They can lean on Chris's Chris being a liar to kind of keep the not have the continuity errors be like apparent. But
yeah.
I guess for me, like, the thing about the show is that it is supposed to be inspired by Survivor, and I think that for those who have watched Survivor, hearing this talk about, you know, people voting at the end, they are going to vote for me to win, all this stuff, like, that makes sense to people who have watched Survivor. It's going to confuse the shit out of people who have not watched Survivor, who are watching this show, expecting there to be a vote, and that vote not happening at the end. Like, that's, right. I think that's where it's like, it, they never really make clear prior to the finale what the finale entails. They just hint at it through this, and it's not accurate.
It's like the writers know enough about Survivor to write a show, but they don't know they don't know in depth or like what makes the show the way that it is,
right?
Or the game the way that it is, I should say.
Yeah, this again makes sense. Like, I'm surprised I'm even defending the Duncan Heather, you know, that whole thing is happening. Like, it makes sense in the frame that they're trying to form it right now. But if you're looking forward, it doesn't really make sense because that's not where the direction of the show goes.
Yeah.
You can bet ass had no idea what the fuck they were doing.
right. No, yeah. And that's probably what they were banking on, maybe.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Kids don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So with now with the challenge, we get a bunch of different little vignettes of the campers hunting down their preferred animal. Gwen is sneaking up on the duck using the bait to bait it. I don't know how she's going to try to catch it with that net, but she's going to try.
Yeah, it's like a butterfly net.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
And then the duck roadrunners.
Motherfucker pulls a Hanna-Barbera and fucking roadrunners away.
I don't think Hanna-Barbera is Looney Tunes. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I will check for you.
I'm pretty sure that Looney Tunes is its separate thing compared to Hanna-Barbera.
Yes.
Oh no!
I got a cartoon thing right over Walsh.
I mean, is Looney Tunes under Warner Bros?
Yeah, they're all under Warner.
They're all under Warner Bros. Okay, yeah.
Oh,
but they are distinct.
Yes.
Okay. I think I was always just like, yeah, it's all Warner Brothers. But
yeah, Hanna-Barbera is like a subsidiary or whatever.
Mm. We cut now to a confessional of Lashana, who basically says her plan is to challenge Beast to the end, which is a viable strategy.
Yes.
Indeed. Can't always rely on it, but it is a strategy.
And it is something that is very much pertinent to this game, because challenges are basically everything outside of the voting at
right,
the end.
And Lashana's good at challenges too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very slowly following a frog with her bucket, and then falls into a very, very deep puddle that is almost as deep as she is tall.
I wonder if they dug those out, honestly.
If the producers did,
yeah,
just to mess with her.
Yeah, that's how I picked it.
I can see it. Next up, Heather drags a trash can to the cave and tries to talk to the bear, just like, come and get it. And as soon as the bear roars, she runs away. And then, maybe my favorite scene in the entire series so far. Lindsay's rant at Heather beats that, but Duncan is approaching a raccoon. And then a raccoon army appears. And then Duncan pulls out the chainsaw. And then raccoon mech. They just fucking form a fucking mech.
Raccoons and take form of raccoon.
Two of their eyes start glowing.
Actually, it's not the eyes, it's the masks.
The masks. I can't.
Well, I didn't think this is how Sly Cooper would go.
This motherfucker then has the audacity to then say, wow, I guess they're more than meets the eye, after they're fucking, like, Transformers ass.
Wait, did he actually say that?
He says that right after, right before the cut.
Ugh, yeah. I didn't
that's
notice
the reference. That is the reference, and I think it kills the mood right there.
And what also gets me too is that I was 100% then expecting Duncan to start, like, carving through these raccoons with a chainsaw. Until I remembered, this is a children's show.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. They'll be rated like, TV, maybe like PG-13, because of their like essential fart jokes and saying crap. But like, that's
does saying crap really warrant a PG-13?
No. Apparently for Cartoon Network, it's too much.
It's TV PG for sure. Cartoon Network was trying to make it TV Y7 as much as they could.
It's really unfortunate.
It is. So now we get to Izzy, and Izzy has the tranquilizer gun, which, it, honestly, for a challenge like this, great find, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except when you're hiding behind a bush, and then you shoot Chef as he's taking out the trash. And then, whoops.
Got him.
And then we find out, we get Izzy's confessional about her chances to win, and she thinks her chances are great. She should totally win, because back when she dressed up as a bear and scared her other team members, she totally would not have been fooled that wasn't a bear. So like, she should win because she's the smartest. Oh, and she has an IQ of 188.
Yeah,
I believe her.
So we will come back to Izzy, but I think I've mentioned before Izzy's genius, and this is of course one of the few instances where we really get to, you know, really get an accurate number on her genius.
Yeah, she's certainly something.
Yeah, I think that genuinely, it is going to be important for these people to consider getting her out, because she will destroy each and every single one of them methodically.
Yes.
See, you know what? I will save my thoughts until the end.
Okay. Gwen is chasing her duck, the bear is chasing Heather, and the duck just starts moving faster. Gwen shouts, "I hate this freaking show." Duncan is running from the raccoon mech as the mech is firing raccoons at him. I don't know where they're getting all those raccoons, but there's a lot of them.
It's just chock full of tiny raccoons that expand so once they raccoons. Get oxygen.
Look, this there is a reason.
Gravity Falls vibes.
It really is, yeah.
Wow, I guess we know who Gravity Falls ripped off, huh?
I think at the end of the day, I don't think we fully grasp the power of raccoons. Like, they are so bold as to, like, hijack the trash that you put out every single day, and, like, you can't even chase them away that well. Like, they will fight you. Yeah. All right, they'll go to fisticuffs for you and be like, "No, I got the trash." All right. So to me, the fact that a dude would be trying his best to trap a raccoon, like, yeah, you're gonna get Transformers on your ass. That's just that's just to be expected. That's in science. Read the fucking science books, man. Read science books. Yes.
You have me fucking dead because it's not that they steal the trash; they hijack it.
They hijack it, they steal your trash, drive it away. Yes, they are the ones that hijack the garbage trucks at your local municipality and steal your fucking trash. They are the ones and having a feast.
Hey, get back here! That's my Duncan, ride.
Duncan falls off a cliff, by the way, with raccoon.
Yes.
That's what he gets.
And now Owen is in a tree, and he's narrating his actions like a nature documentary, as he is the naturalist. And this reminds me a lot of how he was narrating his hunting escapades in the paintball episode.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, he's definitely one to do self-narration. He gives me like Ted Bear vibes.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know why. There's something about it. It's just like he's just like, no matter what, things could go wrong with him around, but you trust it because of his voice.
Yeah. So the chipmunk bites his nose, and then the branch breaks, and he falls. But the chipmunk has a parachute. It's okay.
Where? God's holy earth, did this fucking Alvin chipmunk ass get this motherfucking parachute?
I don't know, but I love it.
Like a little fucking army guy.
He ripped it off of Owen's shirt. Like he's just tearing Owen limb or cloth from cloth, I guess.
Yeah.
Listen, when you live in the branches, you have to be ready for anything.
Yeah.
So you gotta have a parachute.
It's a pure survival technique, and I respect it.
In the next scene, Izzy is back at it again. But this time she tranquilizes. Is this, like, supposed to be, like, a My Little Pony pony?
Yes. Because
it has the sparkles on its...
I think they're trying... I mean... Somehow the cartoon is trying not to go too deep.
Right.
I think it was meant to be portrayed as like a unicorn of sorts.
This is a horse-ass horse.
This is a horse-ass horse, but in a very, but also a bedazzled one at that.
Yes, yep.
And so
there's no horn.
Yeah.
But it's like very fancy.
Yeah.
Fucking horse-ass horse.
It's a horse-ass horse. It's absolutely.
It's a horse-ass horse.
Horse-ass horse.
Get stimulus check. Bring me the horse-ass horse.
What? What?
Go see the...
Oh, alright. No, I get it. I get it.
I just peaked my audio so hard.
It's okay. Wow.
What a meme of that is, it's very horse shaped.
Yes.
Rather than like cartoon pony shaped.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, yeah. This it's not like stubby like the My Little Pony yeah. people. It is right. it is My Little Pony people.
It's, you know.
It is,
you know.
It is a very horse as horse.
Heather is now at the cage where they have to bring all the animals, still complaining about what she has to do, like she hasn't had plot armor. And Gwen is chasing her duck and yells for Heather to open the cage, and Heather does.
Yeah, that was like a Gwen. Weird change of character.
Yeah, I was surprised.
That was a like surprising move on Heather's part, and I'm like, okay, cool. That's nice. You gave Gwen a free meal. That's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah, and Gwen talks about, oh, all the foods that she wants, and they're all duck.
Yes. Chocolate mousse. No.
No.
Chocolate duck.
It's not even funny.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not, but it's the, you know, whenever I heard that as a child, I was like, oh, there's a place called Chocolate Duck near me. So I enjoyed the line, but that was about it.
Nice. And Duncan shows up right afterwards and throws in the raccoon. And I wrote the two converse. I forgot who that was for at first. The duck and the raccoon just, like, make noises at each other.
Well, hold on, because Heather not only gets the cage for Gwen, but also gets the cage for Duncan, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, with Duncan, it makes a little more sense, but...
This was a strange moment for Heather, and I wish it kind of translated to the rest of her existence in this season. I don't think it does.
Duncan decides to offer his help again, because he's like, hey, I don't have anything better to do. Want me to help you catch a bear? And Heather actually agrees, because she's like, oh, he thinks sneaky like me. I like the way he thinks. Like, it's a complete 180 from how she was before. But, again, Duncan putting himself in a good spot, not being in a position that Heather's going to target at this point.
Right. It's basically trying to avoid the inevitable Heather bullseye that will be coming your way. And yeah. But that's the thing, though, and we were talking about this earlier. Like, Heather doesn't really have much power over
No,
people.
She doesn't.
In theory.
Yeah, in theory.
She doesn't. So I get it in Survivor terms. I don't get it in Total Drama Island terms.
Well,
so.
Right. I would say in Total Drama Island terms, Heather is a vote. You know?
Sure.
It's someone who, and I would argue once we get to the end of the episode, helps eliminate somebody else.
Sure. Yeah. That's valid.
But it's still a matter of, do people still want Heather in the game? Like, if Heather sees herself as a threat, if other people see Heather as a threat, because maybe at this point, they don't see Heather as a threat.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I also think, I think that, yes, she's a vote, but I think that it might have been better for Duncan to try to get on the good side of a lot of other people. Because I think, at this moment in time, I think that there's a lot of other contestants that have more power over what the vote is than Heather. If we're thinking in those terms. Yeah. I get what you're saying, though, Walsh. I do think that at what we see at the end, there is a little bit of, like, it seems like Heather had pull. I don't know why. we'll get to that.
I don't know. I mean, I would even, like, if you look at all the other contestants, if Duncan was brought down to the final two, and it is still a popularity vote from the, you know, from the previously eliminated contestants, who's more likely to be picked?
I completely agree with you on that. That's just not why it happens. That's why I'm saying, like, I totally get this from a Survivor point of view, because that's what happens in Survivor. I don't understand this from what Total Drama Island ends up being. And I guess for us as viewers, for me, I've watched the season before. I know what happens, but for us, it would make more sense at this moment in time for people who have not seen the end yet.
Maybe it's for me, because I remember so little.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Jeff. Getting his beaver, he pops up his head up in the beaver dam, and they just have a little house there. And then they just start slapping them with their tails.
1-800.
1-800 beaver tail?
1-800, are you slapping?
Slapping. 1-800 slapping.
1-800, are you slapping?
What? Wait. What is that going? It's flying over my head? Oh, it's the joke. Wow, look at it go.
It's just a dumb meme reference. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right. And then another Izzy scene where she tranquilizes a plane.
Yeah.
And then it just fucking dies.
And she just goes, oops.
Yeah,
and then we get I hate this
plane hunting culture that we live in. Like, why are we hunting planes? We can't bring down planes like that. You can't hunt them like that. It's just disgusting. I am appalled by plane hunting season.
And then we get this fucking batshit confessional from Izzy, where she talks about just quick disclaimer right here. I don't know if this specific dialogue would be used nowadays. Because it is like a stigmatization of mental illness, just like this constant like, oh, we're crazy, ha 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 ha, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So just quick disclaimer there, but she does mention how her family is full of characters like her, how her uncle was trying to cut his ear off to be like Van Gogh, but only did it halfway, and part of it got in her salad.
Yeah, before that she says, genius runs in her family, and psychotherapy.
Yes.
And she says that he was trying to cut it off with a steak knife, which is what got me. And I will be using the genius and psychotherapy later on as evidence, but yeah, this is a very, very interesting confessional.
Yes.
To say the least.
Cut back to Lashana, who's trying to get the frog with Gouda.
Isn't Gouda like a really soft cheese?
This might be the most inaccurate scene in the history of tall drama.
Okay.
Who doesn't fucking like Gouda?
I mean, it is a frog, Chris.
How dare the writers think that anything would be appalled to Gouda cheese.
I mean, Chris, counterpoint. The cheese wasn't close enough to the frog.
Counterpoint, counterpoint, counterpoint. The frog is lactose intolerant.
Ooh.
Mm.
Either way, Lashana steps in the puddle again.
Let's try to Matt tried to bring back the episode a little bit. Just trying to like, all right, we don't know what this frog's cheese preferences are, but we gotta keep it moving here.
Yeah. and then we get to Owen now, and Owen is still playing up in his nature documentarian. And I just love the line, the naturalist would like the chipmunk to listen to reason. It is such a good line.
I feel that for that moment. Yep.
Owen is not doing well here. Cut to Duncan and Heather. And Duncan is again trying to feed into her ego to make her interested in working with him, as much as she is not doing that and not wanting to work with Duncan and doing a poor job at it. And Duncan ends up saying, look, this is a win-win. If she succeeds, I have an alliance. If she loses, she gets eaten by a bear. And just a quick cutaway after that line was awesome.
So this actual alliance, I know it doesn't last long, but it's one that I actually really enjoy, because all of Heather's alliances before this have all been with characters that aren't really ones to talk back. Like, you know, they eventually do, or maybe like slightly here and there, they maybe think about it a little.
It's a big climactic moment, the moment that they start talking back.
Yes, but Duncan isn't one to just like take Heather's shit. like, he will immediately, like, backtalk and think for himself, which I find a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
I completely 100% agree on that.
All right. Where was I? Oh, Jeff gets back and shakes those beavers into the cage. Like, it has the dam with him and just shakes the beavers inside. Well, Shauna comes back with her frog and mentions that she's going to go take a shower because she's been chasing frog in messy water all day. Gwen gets fed by Chef. And then we cut back to Izzy. And she's in the hunting gear from the paintball episode. And she sees deer antlers, because her animal's a deer, remember?
Yes.
Yes.
And then shoots a tranquilizer. The bear runs by, followed by Duncan. Izzy trank tether.
Yes! We love it.
Duncan, when Heather falls down, tranquilized, Izzy is horrified. Duncan is smiling.
Can we just acknowledge, though? Literally, you see Izzy standing there. Duncan runs into frame. Hey, have you seen Heather? Izzy says, who?
Yeah.
Like, as if Izzy wasn't, like, kind of in the pseudo-alliance a little bit with, like, right. Her way back when Lindsay was still around. Like, completely, like, so Izzy's just such an enigma. It's amazing.
And then we get a confessional of Duncan just laughing.
No, that was definitely also a mood. That was definitely a mood.
That was good. Owen is back at the cage. He's chasing the chipmunk all around the table and then through Gwen's dinner. Yelling at Chris.
I like how that chase sequence was that the chipmunk went onto the table and Owen initially goes around it. Then the chipmunk goes onto the table again, and that's the moment that Owen runs to the table.
Yes.
So even though the chipmunk goes through it twice, it's the second time.
He was like, well, going around the table didn't work. So
I have to go through. Yeah, I need changing strategies. I got it. Yeah. I got it.
Change it up.
Owen then gets shut in the cage with all of the animals. And then guess what happens? They attack Owen.
Yeah. He didn't realize that the forming of the Furry Avengers was beginning. All right?
Don't say Furry Avengers.
Sorry. Yeah, that is awakening another part of our of this area. I apologize.
We cut to the campfire ceremony, and Chris is reading out the names again, which he hasn't done in a while. I don't think he did it. Well, he couldn't do it for Lindsay. He didn't do it for DJ. He probably did it for Bridget. But it just—it's felt like a while since I've heard Chris read out the names at a campfire ceremony.
Yeah, yep.
And then this part felt a little bit strange, but they all had confessionals about like what they would miss the most, and they all—it was a mashup of how much they hated Chef's food.
Yeah, this was so weird.
It was a little out of place.
That felt like I felt like they were supposed to insert the, the compilation of voting there and not the food thing. I'm trying to think of what would have triggered the conversation initially. Maybe I feel like it could have maybe been more better earlier in the episode when talking about the paste, and I think it just felt out of place.
It definitely feels like the writers of this episode definitely tried to make it more like reality show based. Yes. Where it was like, oh, the producers are asking these questions like, oh, what do you think your chances of winning are?
100%.
What is the thing you're not going to miss? Things like that.
It just kind of feels jarring compared to everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Question for you guys, because I with the diary room in Big Brother, I know that the way it's set up is that they have the room, one room has the person contestant sitting on it, and on the other side of the door is, or of the camera, is actual people. Like, there are people there. I don't think they could actually see them, but they could communicate with the producers. How does that work with the outhouse? do you think? Like, oh. if we're talking, like, again, it's cartoon. In
the world of the show.
If this is a real show, how would this function?
Right, because in the world of the cartoon, it's the outhouse. They sit on the toilet, and there is a camera there.
Right,
I think,
right.
Like, my headcanon is that, like, there's an underground pipe, and then there's just a can on a string that they talk into.
That works.
So they're like underneath, like they're in like the septic tank, essentially speaking to. Yep. It's funny. Yeah, I like that canon.
I accept that. The marshmallows come out. They're given to Jeff, Owen, Lashana, Duncan, and Heather, leaving it between Gwen and Izzy. And Heather, paralyzed from the tranquilizer, just goes, "Just give it to Gwen already." Izzy has been voted out. She accepts her defeat, and Owen chimes in, "You can make out with me first if that could help cushion the blow." And then she throws a smoke bomb and disappears.
She doesn't even go to the boat.
No.
No, it doesn't need to.
Why does she, I mean, why she's need still to? On the island.
Exactly. Exactly. It's her way of still living out her island dream without having while still also being removed from the show. It's great.
Yeah,
that makes me raise a question. Like, does she make an appearance later on, like before the season ends?
Before this, yes.
Sure. Yes.
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 Well, let me do this ending scene, and then we can talk about Izzy as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
So, since Heather technically finished last, and I guess wasn't voted out because Izzy never got her deer either, unless Heather counts as the deer, Heather has to clean the bathrooms. But Duncan helps her. We find out Heather was faking it, but Duncan goes along with it because, again, Duncan is playing the long game.
Right.
Duncan is doing this on purpose. And that's the episode.
So
that was Wawanakwa Gone Wild. I never said the name of this episode.
So I guess my question is, and I think Walsh, you're going to maybe explain this in some ways. How is it that Heather has the power to swing everyone's vote? Would it be through Duncan in this instance?
So that's the thing. I think, like, specifically Duncan is... Duncan is with Heather for this vote.
Right. So that's two but I votes.
Don't, right, but I don't know why the other five would necessarily not vote out Heather here, okay. Unless they don't see Heather as a threat.
Yes, I want to hear from Walsh, because I like his insight.
It's yep. really... I wrote down in my notes... I actually wrote down, why wasn't Heather voted out? Or vote out someone competent? Who completed the... Like why wouldn't they vote out someone like more competent who completed the challenge?
Right, right.
You know?
That's how I feel.
But, like, because then why go after Izzy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Izzy was shown to be incompetent during this episode.
I mean, Heather's vote makes sense.
Yes, Heather's vote makes sense, yeah. So does Duncan's in the sense of the Alliance. So I started to lay it out. Who voted for who? Of course, you have two votes right there for Izzy, Heather and Duncan. And I think you also, I'm just going to guess, two votes immediately for Heather... between Gwen and Lashana. Right. Now, that leaves three more people to vote. That leaves Owen, Jeff, and Izzy. And while Owen and Jeff don't immediately have anyone that comes to mind to vote for, I mean, maybe Owen might vote for Heather because he's realized, like, oh yeah, she is mean. But we need one of them. At least to vote for Izzy.
I don't think Owen would vote out Izzy.
I don't think Izzy would. I don't think Owen would vote out Izzy. And I don't think Jeff would vote out Izzy. I think Izzy voted for herself.
God damn it.
And this That's great. Is all That's a part great. Of Izzy's 188 IQ plan.
Right.
So we have to ask ourselves here. You have to ask, why is Izzy here? Like, mm-hmm. why is Izzy on the show? Yeah, is it to win the money? And the answer is no, because when you're living with 188 IQ, you can very easily, you know, come up with a plan to invest in money and get that money if you need to. I sound like some rich person that's like,
just get money if you're smart enough.
you actually sound like you're the guy from Always Sunny with the board with all the red strings attached.
Yes, yes. who's Pepe Silvia? And
right.
So what is Izzy here like to gain by being here? And I don't think it's money because of also the reason that Izzy just doesn't seem to be somebody who maybe cares too much about money or earthly possessions. So it has to be the fame and the recognition of being here. It is that artistic genius of her being here. And she is here for both the fame and recognition of being here, but also ensuing chaos. Because Izzy is an agent of chaos. And while her plan was initially to be more incompetent, so that, you know, she can get farther along in the game, now that that has not worked out, and she thinks now, I think I'm still seen as a threat, she has decided to vote herself out. And by being out of the game, and yet still on the island once again, it gets people at home wondering about Izzy. And thinking of Izzy. And I think that is what is important to her.
You're telling cool. me that go, she go. Wants to be famous?
Fuck. 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 God damn it. God fucking damn it. I just wanted to say, though, that's all well and good. And I think that's a very accurate thing. That I do believe that Izzy voted for Izzy now. But that's only 3 votes. You need 4 to leave.
Unless it's a 3-2-2.
Right, so then I'm trying
to... I would have assumed that Owen voted for... Like, Owen and Jeff could have also voted for other people. Like, it could have been a 1-1-2-3.
Could have been 1-1-2-3. Could have been Owen and Jeff voted for Duncan.
Yeah. This is... Like, that's... Out of everything that I feel like this show could have done... is to put an emphasis on who voted for who, because I feel like that would be more fun to see the character dynamics there. But I also think it may have eliminated their ability to kind of pull some of these bullshit endings the at plot the same armor time. Off. Yeah, so it's kind of like, yeah, that's just what you have to deal with.
Yeah, if I were to maybe guess who's voting for who, I would... I mean, as for Owen, it makes the most sense for him because I don't think Owen or Jeff are thinking very strategically. Maybe, but I very highly doubt it. And I feel like Owen would... I don't know, because then Jeff is also very strange, because I can't see him voting for anyone. You know, like, he's just supposed to be this positive.
He's voting out boredom. That's what he does.
Yeah, there
he doesn't care anyway.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say Owen voted for Duncan, and then Jeff, his vote ended up somewhere else.
Yeah. You want to do ratings, correct?
Yes, let's do ratings.
I will start. I'm going to go 8 out of 10 here. I thought that this was a pretty interesting episode. I love the character-driven episodes will also still drive, like, moving the plot along. I do think that there were some weird snags here and there, weird things that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. I think that's really why I knocked some points off. But I thought overall the challenge had its interesting moments, and the again talk learned, hearing from the different characters, seeing the gameplay happen, thought it was pretty good. So I'm going 8.
Cool. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
I'm going to give this episode an 8.5.
All right.
I just think it was extremely enjoyable overall. It had some really, really good moments. There was kind of the uh-oh stinky moments, like, with the votes. I'm really sorry for referencing that meme. It's dead.
I
know.
I like it.
Anyway, I just like it.
Cool.
I'll go next. Well, I'd have to ring, 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 ring. Matt, I think this is a call for you.
Yeah?
Hello? Ring, ring. Hello, and welcome to Chef Watch.
Okay, today, I accept the charges.
Yes, today on Chef Watch, we see Chef taken out by Izzy, and then bringing Gwen her meal. And he does not say a word. This has been Chef Watch.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's so rude for them to call during my segment. Anyway,
yeah.
I would like to give this episode a 9.
Okay.
I really do feel like now as the season has, you know, as the characters have dwindled, we get a lot more of those characters and their insights. You know, they're able to focus on who they want to focus on, and it's not as scattered. The plot isn't as scattered as it used to be, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
And we're able to follow everyone pretty well. And you get a sense of everybody's character. And I just thought that, you know, there were so many funny gags. And, you know, even Izzy being voted out, as much as I enjoy Izzy, it still keeps her as this enigma of a character. So I'm definitely going to go with a 9.
Awesome. I'm also going with an 8. I think that a lot of the same reasons. I also loved just how batshit it was in a couple spots. Like, just having the raccoon mech, and then the chipmunk with the parachute, and then the pony getting tranquilized. Like, all right in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking choice.
Amazing.
But yeah, also the character dynamics were great. I think it's just a little bit off too, and I've been noticing this a lot recently, is that they don't really give the booted character, they haven't really been giving the booted character like a time to shine recently. So just being able to like have them contribute is a little more important to me, and Izzy didn't really contribute that much, so a little bit off of that, but still a solid 8 for me.
Okay.
Good episode. Really good episode. I love these later episodes.
Yes. All right.
All right, Walsh.
So,
oh Jesus, I fucking forgot about these.
So,
how could you forget?
This is and when I pull these numbers, I'm pulling them from the Total Dramarama list on Wikipedia. That is where I start, and then I will hop over to the Total Dramarama, or the Total Drama Wiki. So here we have episode 83, or season 2, episode 32. This one comes in from Andrew Harrison. Thank you, Andrew. This one is titled OWW, as a play on the WWE.
It's like WWE.
Yes, but it's just ow.
Okay.
And the synopsis is, the kids discover that Chef used to be in a wrestling team called Hot Lunch, where he used to be called Soup, with his partner Sammy. They convince him on how to be wrestlers in order to not listen to Courtney's boring Shakespeare performance.
Okay, so first of all, I love how they keep on making episodes where they're discovering about something about Chef's past.
Yes.
Because, like, wasn't it like that they did like a jazz musician?
He was in a tuba band.
He was in a tuba band. Yeah. So we really are starting. I love.
And he was an elite gamer.
And yes. He was an elite gamer. So I love how he has really, like, how at the very least, the show is giving us a whole lot of Chef lore, which I can respect. Okay. But his name is fucking Soup? Like, that's amazing. That's a great wrestling name. Like, Chef the Soup Johnson.
Chef the Soup Chef.
So, this is...
No,
this...
his last name's Hatchet, duh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot. Yeah. Chef the Soup Hatchet. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the wiki. When the kids discover Chef's past as a disgraced pro wrestler, they invite his old tag team partner to help put on a charity show. But is the big match about reunion or revenge?
Ooh.
Spicy.
Some bad blood between them. I like it.
Yeah, is his enemy name called Stew?
I No, from what I can see, it is just Sammy. Oh, I think it's a play on sandwich.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, Soup and Sammy.
Yo, I'm
also,
dead.
I really like the addition at the end of they're trying to get it to trying to avoid Courtney's Shakespeare play.
Yes.
I like that very much.
So, I'm going through the gallery here, which I enjoy doing now. And at one point, the kids, I guess, get dressed up as wrestlers too.
Naturally.
And Noah's the wrestling announcer and introduces the kids. This is Duncan, it took me a second, who is introduced as Mean Green. Mm-hmm. And they're all in costumes, so he's in a skater, like pointy helmet and like a football gear. And then dressed as royalty is Lashana as the drama queen. And then dressed as like a mini fridge is Owen as Refridge O Raider. And then in like spandex holding a squirrel by its tail is Izzy as the squirrel's nest. And then what fucking kills me is just Cody, who is just the towel. I will share this picture with you guys, and I'll probably eventually post it on our social media.
Why?
And later on in the gallery, there's another picture where it's Cody tells Chef that he absorbs blood and sweat.
Jesus.
And at the very, very end, when Sammy is beaten up and in the hospital, it shows Sammy still wants revenge on Chef. The doctor thinks that Sammy is lucky to be alive. The doctor tells Sammy that he has a Cody lodged in his sternum. And then a picture of Cody popping out of this man's, chest, saying, "Can we get more rice pudding? I love hospital food." So I just shared a picture of Cody hung like a fucking towel over the side of the wrestling ring, and then the other one of Cody popping out of the man's stomach.
Why the fuck does this third picture exist?
That was the one of him
of
them saying
out of
you
sternum.
Have a yeah you have a sto-
realize,
Cody
I didn't
stuck
realize
in his
I didn't
sternum.
Hear that part I didn't hear that part with the imagery now.
This has been the Dr. Shane podcast. Go get Cody out of your sternum.
Why is he a towel?
The Doc of Shame podcast is brought to you by Team Chaos Productions. Find us on Twitter @Doc of Shame and find more of our work at Team Chaos Pods.